The Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 5th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First, we head to Michigan, where Ann Arbor set an ambitious goal of rendering the city carbon neutral by 2030. Program administrators say they plan to make changes in a just and equitable fashion. We have more in this report as part of a Grist Magazine Solutions Journalism Michigan News Connection collaboration.
The program's first project was in the Bryant neighborhood, an older low-income area with outdated infrastructure and high utility costs. Missy Stultz is the city's sustainability and innovation director. She says the program looks for solutions for the Bryant neighborhood and others like it.
We're really focusing heavily on our frontline neighborhoods, those who have lower incomes, who've historically not been centered in a lot of the community engagement efforts that we have, because those are the neighborhoods in the community where the market hasn't served them.
Using a $1.5 million grant, renovations to the first 19 homes began in May 2022 to repair and electrify homes, plant trees, and install solar panels. I'm Mark Richardson.
And Connecticut voting advocates are calling on the General Assembly there to pass the state's Voting Rights Act.
The bill would enshrine the protections of the Federal Voting Rights Act of 1965 and eliminate certain barriers to voting specific to Connecticut. The bill would provide new legal tools to fight discriminatory voting rules, expand language assistance for voters with limited English, and adopt strong protections against voter intimidation. Jess Zaccagnino with the ACLU of Connecticut describes how the bill's pre-clearance program aims to handle voting rights problems before they happen.
This program basically would put the burden on local governments where there are records of discrimination, and that's set out in a formula in the bill, to prove that certain changes they make to their election procedures wouldn't harm voters of color or other protected groups before those changes could go into effect.
The bill was introduced in the General Assembly during the 2022 legislative session, but never advanced out of committee. During a public hearing this year, some people said the legislation only makes voting more complicated, albeit less reliable. Others feel the bill is too broad and tears down federal protections. It has been filed with the Legislative Commissioner's Office. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And as you probably know by now, Donald Trump appeared in a Manhattan courtroom Tuesday for a moment unprecedented in American history, pleading not guilty to 34 felony counts related to payments intended to silence an adult film actress during his 2016 presidential campaign. The Washington Post reports it was a scheme that prosecutors said amounted to an illegal conspiracy to win the White House. Prosecutors pressed the judge to expedite a trial schedule to begin in January, but Trump's team said that was too ambitious. They suggested next spring as a more appropriate target. This is Public News Service. Indiana lawmakers are still debating a bill that would ban some books in school libraries.
Senate Bill 12 passed the Indiana Senate at the end of February and is now in a House committee. It would potentially make teachers, school librarians, and even principals legally liable for making books available to kids that some consider obscene or harmful. At Indianapolis' Central Library, Special Projects Manager Mike Williams predicts if the bill passes, banning books in public libraries is not far behind. He points out that librarians do not make random decisions about books and are capable of determining what is acceptable for public access.
We rely on critical reviews, awards from critical panels to determine the best of the best literature that's out there. And we strive very hard to present a diverse group of materials and opinions.
I'm Terry D. reporting.
Some 50 Texas sheriffs and other elected officials have attended trainings on the unsupported premise that they have the authority to single-handedly overrule state and federal laws. That includes election laws. More now in this Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting and Texas News Service collaboration.
The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association contends sheriffs are the supreme legal authority with the power and duty to defy or disregard laws they consider unconstitutional. The group's trainings attended by sheriffs count for up to 8 hours of credit required by the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. Reporter Jessica Pishko says many sheriffs got involved with the organization based on right-wing theories about the 2020 election being stolen.
Sheriffs have been uniquely vulnerable to getting kind of radicalized to believe election fraud happened and that they are uniquely situated to investigate election fraud.
The association asserts elected officials are accountable only to their voters, not judges or legislators. I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, scientists and engineers are working to ensure that hydropower dams can provide clean energy without harming aquatic species.
Roughly 22% of fish that pass through a dam's rotating steel turbine blades are killed, but newly designed turbines are giving fish a fighting chance. Shannon Ames is the executive director of the Low Impact Hydropower Institute, which inspects and certifies hydropower facilities for reducing harm on the surrounding ecosystem. She says it's a reward that facilities can use to join in a state's renewable energy portfolio.
So people can read it and make their own judgment about whether that facility is something they want to either contract with or support or not.
I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's our radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.